This morning I had you consider Jesus and the whole crucifixion scenario. And I wanted you to consider, for as we partook of the communion table, I wanted you to consider the physical agony that he was going through. I want to take you back as an introduction to the message tonight. And I want you to consider right before that all took place, what was going on. Judas departs while they were yet in the upper room. And Jesus knows that Judas is going off to betray him. He concludes with the Last Supper, and he leads the apostles out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Told them what's going to happen. But he says to Peter, James, and John, he said, I want you guys to come apart with me. And he takes them apart and he said, now you guys stay here and watch. I'm going off to pray. And he goes off to pray and he asks the Father that if there be any way to take this cup from him, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he comes back, had given the apostles, the three of them, one simple command. I want you to just stay here. I want you to keep guard. I want you to watch. He finds them all sleeping. Can you imagine the turmoil that his soul is going through? He wakes them up and he said, come on, guys. Kind of a paraphrase. I gave you one simple thing to do, and you couldn't do it. Watch and pray. For the spirit is willing indeed, but the flesh is weak. Two commands now. Watch and pray. We as Christians sometimes get the praying part correct. Okay, well, we prayed about that. Open, closed doors. And what would happen if you didn't watch? You'd never find what doors were open. You have to watch. And we say to ourselves, we justify it, well, I prayed about it, and God's will is going to be accomplished. Is it? Shake your head, yes. God's will is always going to be accomplished. May not recognize it necessarily, but God's will always will be accomplished. 1 John 5 tells us that if we ask anything according to His will, we have the petitions that we desire to think. Sometimes, though, we don't recognize those things because we don't watch. Watch and pray. I want you to try and remember something tonight as we consider that command. And I tried to put it into a way of remembering it by repetition. Because they say there are three ways of remembering something. Repetition, repetition, and repetition. So I use a phrase throughout that will hopefully help you remember. And it's this. Whenever the child of God attempts to accomplish the will of God by doing the works of God, the enemies of God will always be present. Let me repeat it. Whenever the child of God attempts to accomplish the will of God by doing the works of God, the enemies of God will always be present. Therefore, watch and pray. Turn to your Bibles now, but with that introduction to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah was given one task. Build a wall. The building of the wall in and of itself is a physical thing. Spiritually, the wall was not going to accomplish anything. But its physical presence was going to give safety to the people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, that they might live a life that would glorify God. Ultimately, it would allow them to rebuild the temple and begin their worship practices and so forth, but it would provide safety for them as a people. So in that it had a spiritual consequence. And that was his function. That was the will of God. So the work of God was build the thing. And he, as we have studied the last couple of weeks up in the first three chapters, he gave plans to the people and he divided the work as we looked at last week. But notice how chapter 4 begins. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. Now remember, Sanballat is an enemy of God. When he heard that we builded the wall, he just said to himself, "Oh, shucks, I was hoping they wouldn't do that. Well, my goose is cooked, I guess I'll give up." Oh, wait a minute, that's not what it says. He was wroth, he was angry, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" It's interesting, if you look at the questions that he asked, it forms a progressive thought. The first question that he asks is this, "What do these feeble Jews?" Now, he's attempting. What's interesting here is, while it says he spake this before his brethren, it's getting back to the people of Israel. CNN was there. They were covering this thing. MSNBC was covering this thing because they were the enemies of God. Fox News was not there. Political comment, and I shouldn't have said that. But nonetheless, it does get back. While he said it in front of his own people, I'm sure his own people repeated these things because that was the purpose of it. And may I say to you, whenever you are attempting to accomplish the will of God by doing the work of God, you're always going to experience the enemies of God. And their first thing is that they will bring some type of criticism that is meant to discourage you from doing the work. And notice how it intensifies as it goes along. What do these feeble Jews? The word feeble is a Hebrew word which means without strength or have gotten to the place of exhaustion. These people don't have the ability, they don't have the energy, they don't have the wherewithal to do this. May I say to you, the first thing that discouragement that will come to you whenever you attempt to accomplish the will of God by doing the work of God is you're going to say, "I don't think I can do this. Where am I going to find the wherewithal, the strength, the vigor, the stamina, the resources within me?" Well, probably you're not going to find them within you. You're going to find them within God. But that's the whole point of the thing. But it starts there. Second question. Will they fortify themselves? The word Hebrew word fortify here means to leave, to forsake, or to abandon. Okay? Where are they going to get the energy to do that? Well, we'll drum it up. Everybody has energy to some degree or another. Will they fortify themselves? Will they forsake the things that they would normally do and devote their energies to doing this other thing? Well, I would do the work of God today, but I've got my own plans. How many times have you said, "Well, this is my time"? Oh, yeah. Do you really have any time? Does time belong to you? All time is God's time. And I understand, I'm not saying that we're sinning or anything of the such when we say, "Well, this is my free time." Certainly God does give us time that we're not always actively doing work. I think sometimes God gives us, by the way, something in the Psalm says, "For he gives his beloved sleep." That's a gift from God. But nonetheless, will they put aside their own things for the things of God? Well, nah, they wouldn't do that. Will they sacrifice? And he's not talking about offering an animal here. He's talking about sacrificing the things of their own. Will they go beyond just setting aside some free time? Will they sacrifice themselves? Will they give beyond their ability to really give? Not only... have you ever heard someone say... usually it's an athlete. Well, I gave 110%. Is that possible? No, it's not possible. Humanly speaking, you can only give 100%, because once you give 100%, you have nothing left to give. Unless you're borrowing on tomorrow. Then you'll have some more. Will these people go beyond what they presently have and mortgage themselves, their energies, their resources, their abilities, so to speak, and give beyond? Will they do incredulously? It gets one step more. Will they make an end in one day? Will they work so feverishly that they can build this whole thing in one day? Now, what's he saying here? Will they do the next to impossible? Obviously, I guess theoretically, it's possible that through some supernatural act or something, they could have rebuilt the wall in one day. But under normal circumstances, was that going to happen? No, it's going to take a period of time. Next to impossible. Going even beyond sacrifice. Then the final question is, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? That is impossible. All these things are meant to discourage the people. Look, you only have a limited amount of energy. Are you going to fortify yourself? Are you going to go above beyond the call of duty and make a sacrifice? Do you think you can get this? Why even bother? Discourage. And if they don't discourage you in your own abilities or your own resources, here's the next discouragement. Verse 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. If, no matter what you do, even if you do all this stuff, the accomplishment of it is going to be so poor that the slightest little disturbance to it will knock it all down. And implied in that is the armies of Samaria are far more powerful than just a little fox. You build that up, we'll knock it down. You don't stand the chance. So why even bother? That's the discouragement that the enemies of God will always attack with whenever the child of God seeks to accomplish the will of God by doing the works of God. What do? When discouragement comes, well, what did they do? Verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. That's a prayer. They turn to God and they say, God, you know what? Maybe there's a certain amount of truth to what they're saying. We really don't have a whole lot of energy. We don't have a whole lot of resources. Maybe what it's going to take to get this wall up is a miracle. And we can't do miracles, but you can. And these people, God, have despised us. Do you know what that means? They've despised you. We just started on Wednesday night. This past Wednesday in Acts chapter 9, Paul's walking down the road to Damascus. Light comes out of heaven and a voice comes out of heaven and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Wait a minute, Lord. I'm not persecuting you. It's these crazy Christians that I'm persecuting. God says, I identify with my people. Let's go the opposite way. Lord, they're persecuting us. That means they're persecuting you. Do something, God. You're in it. This is your will. You directed, Nehemiah says, me to do this. I'm doing it because it's your will and I want to accomplish your will, but I need you to accomplish your will. We are despised, therefore you are despised. Lord, you are a God of justice. What I am seeking here is poetic justice. They want to ruin our works. You ruin theirs. We are in the land of captivity. You know, we're still just under Persian rule here. But really, they're in the land of captivity. They're in your land. So he asked for poetic justice. But notice this, verse 5. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Wow. Aren't we supposed to pray for our enemies? Well, that's a prayer, isn't it? Why would Nehemiah ask for such a harsh treatment? Because Sanballat and Tobiah were asking for a harsh treatment against the people of God. They're his enemies. These are folks that had been given an opportunity to actually assist in accomplishing the will of God. Remember when Nehemiah was before the king and he said, look, God's commissioned me to do this. Will you allow me to go back? And the king says, yeah, give me a time, and sets a time and so forth. And Nehemiah says to him, well, you know what? When I get beyond the river here, there's going to be some people down there that aren't too friendly. And when I tell them that I'm here on your business, they're going to say, no, you're not. Give me some letters with your seal on it that gives me authority from you to do this. And not only that, I'm going to need materials and so forth. And remember, the king gave him a letter to get all the trees and everything that he needed to do the job. And he comes down. Who's the first person they meet? Sanballat. Sanballat was more than likely right there at the very beginning saying, what in the world do you think you're doing down here? Pulled out the letter. Here's the will of the king. Here's the will of God. You want to help us or not? Well, he couldn't do anything with the letter, but he wasn't happy about it. In fact, if you go back to chapter 2, verse 10, look what it says was his response. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. We don't like this. And Nehemiah knew from the very beginning it was not going to be easy. Well, they prayed about it. Okay, well, we prayed about it. We prayed according to the will of God. If any, we ask anything according to God's will, we have the petitions we desired of Him. So that's all that we need to do. Well, they went out and started building. Verse 6, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Isn't that great? Man, they got out there and they said, God's going to take care of us. We can get at this. And they got after it. And the work began. And once the work began, Sanballat and Tobiah said, ugh. Well, we gave it our best shot. We tried to interfere. We tried to discourage them. We tried to intimidate them. But it didn't work. We have nothing left to do. We might as well go home. I'm sure they had put that in there. Maybe it was some other Bible that I had read there. Verse 7. But it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, notice how the group now has grown, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very angry. Now they were grieved back in chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 1, they were angry. Chapter 4, verse 7, they were very angry. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem, no longer with discouragement, but with weapons of warfare to hinder it. We will stop them from building this, because as long as it's halfway up there, we can handle that. It's a hindrance to us, but anyone can get over half the wall. We just need to keep it from being completed. So we'll fight. Verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch. Lord, they're coming after us. Look at the big army that's coming after us. Lord, they got more weapons than we do. Lord, they have more people than we do. Lord, they have more horses than we do. They have more everything. Our goose is cooked, Lord. But you, do something, Lord. We're your people. It's your will. Your will always, always is accomplished. We're trusting you to do that. So we'll go back to work. Oh, and set a watch. Lord, we have responsibility in this. Night and day we will set a watch, because we know they're coming. And yes, Lord, you can do miraculous things. We remember with Elisha how you surrounded the city with horses and chariots that the Syrians, they wouldn't attack. We know you can do this. We also know that you normally work through people, and that's us. If you wanted to, you could speak and the walls would come into existence. But you haven't chosen to do that. You've chosen to use people. You've given us a job to do. And Lord, I guess we have a responsibility of defending ourselves by your strength. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch. Because when the enemy comes, we're going to be prepared. When they come, we'll pray a little harder. We'll pray a little more. We'll pray specifically about a situation. Lord, open up a house. A house. Just one. Lord, they're attacking in one place. Meet us here. Guess what happened? Anyone want to guess what happened? The wall was built. Why? Because the will of God ultimately always is accomplished. But whenever the child of God attempts to accomplish the will of God by doing the work of God, the enemies of God are always there. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing indeed, but the flesh is weak. Let's pray. Father, it would be nice if there were no enemies to face, no opposition to deter, no discouragement to keep us from doing that which you've called us to do. But there are always enemies, till that day when the last enemy will be destroyed. So Lord, help us to be faithful, cast our burdens upon you, but then also to watch and be responsible for what you would have us to accomplish from you. That the will of God ultimately may be accomplished, joy, rejoicing, and great glory come to your name. And we'll praise you, because you will do exactly that. In Jesus' name, amen. Good week.